it's time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Monday, Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Nate, we're going to have to get a lot of these calls. Nate Littlefield behind the glass for us today. Keegan Murray. It's going down. See, I didn't know if you were ready. I didn't want to leave myself hanging this early on in the show. We're still getting settled in. We're still trying to warm up because Dave has it as an igloo in here. Because it's freezing in here. But I tell you, it was hot and golden one this weekend with Keegan Murray.
Real hot.
A.K.A. Threegan Flurry.
Come on.
A.K.A. Keegan Murthy.
Okay.
Okay.
And
Key him Murthy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Keep them coming all day long because as we had conversations all this week, really, we literally, and I'm telling you, Chris, a lot of people, they're listening to this show. We are the flagship.
Yep.
We are the bad boys of the midday.
That's what they say.
And how about, this is the second time we've had a conversation about a player. Okay, not in any disrespectful way. We just asked, what do we think Keegan Murray's ceiling is? Mm-hmm. And Keegan is in his car. I imagine Keegan to have a nice car. But,
Corolla, Acura.
And he's listening, whether it be on the Sactown Sports app, or whether he might be an old school guy. Right. He's listening on the old 1140, right?
Yeah.
And he hears us talking about his ceiling and what his ceiling could be. And he hears us say, hey, we don't know. He's still young. He can do some things in the league. But a lot of guys are his age or younger and have high ceilings.
Yep.
So what does Keegan Murray do? He drives on over to Golden One and says, I got something for you, Alan Styles.
I was listening to the radio today, and people weren't being very nice.
I got something for you, Chris Watkins. And instead of, what's up, Vancouver, he said, what's up, Styles and Watkins? How you like me now?
Talk
47
nice.
Points. And Chris Watkins, if everybody listened last week, Monday, I had to do the show alone. Chris was coming back from Vegas from that barn burner of a game with the Vikings. That was Chris's that was his first NFL game this season, right?
Yeah, a long time.
So Chris had to wear it all week long. People are coming up to us at the games. Chris, how about that game? I mean, I know I could see it on Chris's face. He was tired of the joke, but it was kind of making me laugh as well. And now Chris goes to Jazz Kings as a fan for the first time this season, and
years.
He gets redemption.
Yes.
Redemption. How did it feel to be in the arena?
I felt like I was maybe dreaming because I was like, there's no way this is happening to me right now, especially coming off the back of a 3-0 thriller in Las Vegas. It was nuts. It was great to, first off, I'm glad I was in the building because, you know, typically I'll be there, but it was different to be in the crowd. You could feel in the media section, we try and act polite. You know, we're not going to be slapping high fives left and right. But it was cool to be in the real thick of the crowd. You could feel the excitement. You can hear. It took me back to, like, Jimmer Fredette days for random reasons. Like, Kings fans, when Jimmer were playing, would just yell, shoot it, the second he crossed half court, almost as a troll a little bit. But I heard it again on Saturday when every time Keegan touched the ball, everyone just wanted him to put it up. It was an electric environment. It was a great atmosphere. Obviously, Keegan definitely did his thing as well. Like, that was just special. It was a special performance, special night. And, I'm glad that I was able to be kind of at least a little bit a part of the crowd. But I'm telling you, there was not much cheering from my end. It was just all hands on my head being like, I cannot believe what I'm watching right now. It was insane.
And we'll get into a lot of that game in particular and Keegan Murray and why it was more exciting than some of maybe the other one-offs. We'll talk about random 50 burgers and obviously he had 47, but we've seen random guys get points before. But it's the way that it happens when you're thinking, okay, that's not sustainable. I think the most exciting thing about, and no, the Jazz aren't very good, but I think the most exciting thing about this is that maybe 12 of 13, whatever he was at one point, 11 of 12, maybe that's not sustainable, but all of the looks that he got, those are sustainable.
Weren't tough shots or anything.
There were a couple in the corner, shots, right? Yeah. The ones in the corner, yeah. which he's made before.
I mean,
before
he wasn't like dribble, dribble, dribble,
no,
step back,
no,
you know, hitting just crazy stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And we don't have the dribble count because I know Klay Thompson had a separate game where he had the dribble count. But
right.
it feels like that dribble count was pretty low
yeah.
as well. Maybe not as low as Klay. But, and Keegan, we have sound of Steph Curry reacting. I wanted Keegan to get it. And I got to say, we'll get your thoughts in more in depth, but how did you feel about Kings fans? I know it was, you know, all in good fun, but booing Mike Brown for taking out Keegan Murray. I get it.
Yeah.
Don't boo the coach, man.
No.
Fair or foul. You good with that?
I mean, it's probably a little bit foul. It is like that game was over because
yeah.
you're going to be a lot more upset if Keegan Murray gets hurt looking for 50 points for, you know, just, you know, it's nice to talk about, but, you know, he scored 47 and we're still pretty excited about it. So it really, in the long run, didn't matter. It's fine. No harm,
yeah.
no foul. But it's, you know, of course, I think it's just in general, you know, when you're already in the environment, he's got 40 plus
right.
through three quarters. It is a little bit of, well, let's just see, like, you know, Dave kind of poked fun 0
yeah.
for 2 Keegan Murray in the fourth quarter, but it would have been fun to see. All right, like put him in to start the fourth,
and then let him cool off.
Exactly,
which is weird because you let him cool off, and then the Jazz actually brought it closer.
They did, yeah.
So you had to bring him in. So Coach Mike Brown was in a tough spot. He's,
I mean, yeah.
number one, you got to keep everybody healthy.
Yeah.
And we are now talking about Keegan Murray in a completely different way, and this
yeah.
is something that we've been waiting for.
That's crazy.
So we got more on that all day long. Niners also roll as they typically
do.
Defense gave up more points than maybe we would have thought.
Right.
But the Niners win 45-29, and Brock Purdy continues to pad his MVP status so much that we have people now. We're not going to answer it now, but we have people asking the question, is Brock Purdy the best quarterback in the NFL? Now, don't answer that now.
I will not.
I don't like the tone of your voice, but we have to. It is time that we ask the question. And Emil Fragoso, we will get his thoughts on
yes.
that at 11 a.m., our Sactown Sports 49ers insider. And part of the reason Brock has all but sewn up the MVP. Now, we're going to talk about Lamar Jackson because Lamar, if they beat the Niners, which I don't think they will, but if Lamar beats the Niners, you lose Mitchell, a running back last
yeah.
night. You've already been missing Mark Andrews. So whenever we talk about the Niners, I feel like when we say if healthy is always in more bold than it is for other teams because you have the Chiefs, they're missing Pacheco, and you might as well call it an injury with having Kadarius Toney as one
right.
of the wide receivers because he's actually hurting the team
yeah.
at this point. So the Niners, and we know the Eagles have been, you know, Jalen Hurts dealing with injury. And did you see that when they were knocking him on the ground for the fumble ball protection?
Yes, for the
practice,
yes.
So the Niners continue to take care of business. Things can change quickly as the Bills start to heat up a little bit. So things can change quickly, but we will talk Niners as they roll and get ready for that Christmas showdown against the Ravens, which will end their bird tour, I believe. We also have Folsom's own Jake Browning with some audio we will get into as he says, you shouldn't have bleeping cut me. And Jake Browning was feeling himself.
Yep.
And some people might say, be humble. Chris, I think you know me well enough to know, hey, man.
You ain't got no time
for
humble.
No, yeah. By the time you're humble,
yeah.
your career might be over, right? You got to.
You flex while you can.
Certain people, yes.
Come on.
Jake Browning, you don't know how long your time in the sun is going to be. Shouldn't have cut me. I don't care. What did you say? 4 or 5 years ago? Who cares?
It was a while ago,
who
but
who cares?
It's fine. It was a nice, I shouldn't say nice. It was pretty difficult for me to deal with that one on Saturday.
Yeah.
It was like, Vikings choke. But at least it was the Sacramento legend,
that's
Jake Browning.
True.
So there had a lot of conflicting feelings on that one. Then, of course, the Vikings, as he let us know, the Vikings did cut him a couple years ago. So, you know, I'm all right with Jake Browning getting his time to shine. Because at the end of the day, this dude, maybe I can look it up during a break, but this guy literally set pretty much every California state passing record when
yeah.
he was at Folsom. So it does make a whole lot of sense. And it is nice to see, you know, someone who set all of those records in high school have some sort of pro success because, you know, it feels like if you're that good in high school, there should be some sort of translatable skills
you would like
to NFL
think so.
Quarterbacks,
you,
right? Especially in the biggest state in the union.
Yeah, no, that's
or
a good
country.
That's a Where are we trying to go? All of a sudden, Chris has a different hat on now. He's got a completely different outfit on. I don't know what's going on. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, we will hear from Steph Curry as he reacts to Keegan Murray's 12 threes. We will also talk about Keegan Murray and what this means for the future of the Kings. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Nate Littlefield with us behind the glass, doing a great job as always. Huge week for the Kings. This is what movies are made of. This is what
we're
movies...
We're going to see Cat, too.
Which voice are we going to see from Karl Anthony Towns? We have about four to choose from.
Right. Hey, guys. We'll have to play that game I don't know if that's going to be on Friday or during the week, but we'll have to play like a Cat voice game.
Unfortunately, it's the back-to-back where it's Friday they have the Suns and then Saturday is the T-Wolves. So
Friday we will get into
some... Name that Karl Anthony Towns.
Is this rookie Cat? Is this Cat from high school? Is this actually Cat last week?
Right. Is it gaming Cat? Is it just hit a game winner Cat?
Which Karl Anthony
Cat? Is it podcast Cat? Which Karl Anthony Towns is it? And we know which Keegan Murray it was last night. That was the good one. But before we get to Steph, let's hear from the Sacramento product, Jake Browning, and what he had to say just to the Vikings in general.
Go watch
that as well, because he's looking right at the camera.
He slams his helmet down.
He is so cold and calculated. Yeah. He had that in the chamber ready.
He said,
if I pull this off, this was like the Geno Smith, they wrote me off, but I didn't write back.
100%.
Which everyone said, did he just come up with that off the top? No way. But I don't care.
No.
Jake Browning, same thing. Should never cut me. This goes into the same conversation as, I have everybody named, everybody that's been drafted before me.
Right.
So Jake Browning, we will continue to play that. Jake Browning, he is a Sacramento legend. So good for him, albeit against Chris's team. Sometimes you got to wear it. Now let's hear from Steph Curry as he's finding out what Keegan Murray did in the 12 threes.
Steph, up in Sacramento tonight, Keegan Murray started 12 of 13 from three. In the first three quarters.
So I heard that and I thought, okay, I guess at first for me, you think, all right, well, records are records, right? You get close, it's still a really good game. When I heard Steph kind of react to it, and if you hear more of that piece, he's clearly saying, oh, so Clay's record is safe. It kind of put it back into perspective for me that these guys really do care. And last week we did the Giannis thing about the ball gate and all that stuff.
Right.
And
Keegan got his game ball, by
Keegan
the way.
Got his game ball. They made sure.
Can confirm.
Exactly. So I guess with all that being said, did you feel like, man, this was a great thing for Keegan, but I really wanted him to get that record.
Because
being the Warriors and Clay.
Yeah.
Because I didn't necessarily feel like that until I heard, and we have the longer version we'll play here in a second, until I heard Steph and how much he was sweating it, to be honest.
A little bit. Yeah. I think it would have been cool. Like we said last segment, it would have been cool just to give Keegan the opportunity to say, how far can we take this thing? Again, just start him at the beginning of the fourth quarter. The game's already kind of wrapped up. If he can hit two to three more threes, then that's the record. It would have been really cool. I understand why Mike Brown didn't feel like that was priority number one, but it would have been really cool to just kind of hold that over the Warriors as well. It would have felt like a real turning, not changing of the guard, but it would have been another cool moment in which you could say, hey, here's this new era of,
right,
you know, if you want to say Northern California basketball or whatever, but it is a little, it would have been a little symbolic as well. You know, the Kings are definitely have always taken from the Warriors, and
right,
it would have been cool to kind of, again, it would have been symbolic, I think, of, oh, this is now the Kings' time to kind of try and do whatever, a version of what the Warriors did. Of course, they can't ever replicate what they did, but
right,
it would have been really awesome. Yes, I didn't think about it during the time. I honestly was only focused on him breaking the franchise record from Buddy Hield, which was mm-hmm. 11 at the time. But I also wasn't aware that Klay hit 14. I knew he had the record. I thought it was like 15 or 16, so I kind of thought it was a little less attainable, but Keegan was there, man. He was two
right
back.
There.
And then I think, like you said, we're going to play the longer one. I think Steph mentions Klay was like 14 of 21
yeah.
when he hit it. What, Keegan finished 12 of 15?
Yeah.
So it's like, if you want to give Keegan seven more shots,
right?
I don't know. I felt like he probably could have done it. But
Steph says, I guess we'll hear in a second, but he said he's on pace for 18 in that game
yes,
with the record.
Right. Yeah.
Let's hear from it, Nate.
Keegan Murray started 12 of 13 from three. You've
he
hit
what?
Yeah, in the first three quarters. You've hit 13 in
okay,
a game before. It's still going on.
They took him out earlier.
Ah, he got hit with it. Klay hypothetically had 18 in Chicago if he would have stayed in the game. And is it still going on?
Well, just how
he's
difficult.
Still at, oh, this is dope. He's still at 12?
I think so.
Pull it up, Anthony. Come on. Yes.
How would you just describe that record just in terms of its difficulty to achieve? You know, you and Klay have both been up there.
I mean, when somebody, the team knows you're hot, they're going to start to shade your way, take, you know, your looks away. You got to sustain that over the course of the game. 12 or 13 is nuts.
He's 12 for 14 right now.
He's getting them up. He's getting them up. How much time's left? Stay tuned.
Sorry.
No, but it's I ain't, yeah, we'll see. But yeah, it's tough because you have to find good looks. Obviously, stay hot the whole game. Klay was wild because he was 14 for like 21 or something like that in three quarters. Took me the whole game when I hit 13. Honestly, I'm surprised still that it's still 14 because of how many threes are getting up these days. But it's cool that Klay still got it for now.
There it is. And after I heard that, it just made me feel like I really wanted Keegan. At first I thought, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Because to me, and it goes the same way in baseball with a no-hitter or whatever. I think as a coach, the balance is, hey, this guy's a really good shooter. We'll have another opportunity. But also, will you?
Right.
Will you? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. We
yeah.
don't know.
Especially at that efficiency. It's
yeah.
like, okay, he's clearly like, you know, again, Klay was 14 of 21. He was putting him up.
Yeah.
Keegan was almost just getting to the point where it was like, okay, he's been crazy efficient. He had 11 straight threes. Again, let's just see what it looks like if we give him four or five more. He hadn't even gotten to the point where he was just putting up volume. I don't know. I mean, I think every coach has his own philosophy, but me personally, I'm always going to, like you said, you just never know when you're going to have that opportunity again. When you have a chance at history, got to go for it.
You have to
at least give it a try.
Well, and I think that Coach Brown could have got away with it because it wasn't a complete blowout,
right?
Right? So I'm looking here just to put it in perspective, and I hope this doesn't come off as negative. It's weird because it was outstanding,
yeah.
but you're just so
yeah.
close that you just wanted it. So I'm looking here just to put it in perspective. We know Klay Thompson has a record with 14.
Right.
Klay has scored 12 three-pointers in a game twice.
Wow.
So he's done that
wow.
twice. He's had 11 once.
Okay.
And he's had 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times.
Wow.
Okay.
I would have guessed would have been higher for 10. Yeah.
Honestly. So,
yeah.
Because he's getting them up.
Right.
Let's go to Steph Curry. Steph Curry, his most in a game, 13.
Right.
Steph has had 12 in a game once.
Wow.
Steph has had 11 in a game, 1, 2, 3, 4,
yeah, I was
five,
like, that
six,
one might
seven,
get.
7, 8, 9, 10 times. and then 10 another 10 times. But I mean, he's in rare air.
Like, yeah, that's rare like once
air.
A year.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, especially after hearing those, it makes me feel like...
It's not like they're doing this all the time.
No, it's not. I mean, and those are the two greatest shooters that we have of this era.
Steph is at 13 once, 12 once.
I think Zach LaVine has a random 11 or 12 in there.
Hey, bring him.
We'll talk about
him later. Splash Bros Part 2.
Yeah, yeah, especially hearing that. It's not even... I mean, I'm not upset about Mike Brown. Like I said, I probably wouldn't have booed him for taking him out. I totally understand why... In that moment, it's like, look, De'Aaron's not playing. We already have this, you know, I think they were up 30 to start the fourth. And then, like you said, they eventually kind of made it 20 or 15 or something like that. And
he then cooled off.
Check
by
Keegan
then.
Back in. I understand. I feel, I mean, when you're that close to history, I just feel like you gotta, even if it's just Keegan chucking up a couple shots, I just would have liked to at least he was, you know, it's like Christian McCaffrey when they were trying to go for the touchdown record. Right. It's like, you know, the game's already sealed. Just kind of force feed him three times at the goal line and just see if he's going to get in. It's not, and then after that, take him out. But at least say, you know what, we gave it a respectable try.
But yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
They got
but
the
hey,
result.
But hey, like we said, if we think that Keegan Murray is up there with these guys and is on his way, then he will be there again.
Oh, yeah. And that was through three quarters.
That was through three quarters, right? Just like Steph said.
Clay
got pulled out as well. Yeah. So this is what happens, right? Clay, in Steph's mind, he could have 18, right? So this is what...
I know, yeah. How did he go from 14 to actually, hypothetically, Clay should have had 18?
Well, Steph is probably thinking, he was going to put up about 10 more.
That's true,
so he probably was going to get it somehow, some way. But good on Keegan Murray. Continuing to talk about Keegan because, as we've said... There have been some trade conversations, and nobody here at Sacktown Sports is talking about Keegan. The bottom line is when you bring up, and we have some more details about Pascal Siakam and those deals as well. Keegan is by far the Kings' best asset.
Yes.
By far.
Yeah, by a mile.
So what you want to do with that, if you want to just continue on, Monty McNair, here the question is, did this make Monty's job easier or harder? You can look at it both ways. And like we said, and I posted this meme over the weekend, Fat Joe saying, yesterday's price, Nate, we can find that as well. Yeah. Yesterday's price is not today's price.
It sure is not.
We will be back talking Kings, talking Niners. Were you surprised what Keegan Murray did? Can he do it again tonight against the Wizards? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. We have some news for you. Emil Fragoso will not be joining us. He is battling a little cold, and we wish him the best. Hopefully, he can feel better. So we will be joined by the other half of Return of the Empire, Nate Littlefield, behind the glass. You will get a free sample, shout out Costco, of Return of the Empire at 11 o'clock. And we will ask Nate all the hard-hitting questions that we were going to ask Emil Fragoso, our Sacktown Sports 49ers insider. So be sure to hang around for that in 30 minutes. 916-339-1140 if you want to talk about Keegan Murray and his Keegan Flurry. Or Three-Gin Murray, or Keegan Mur 3.
Any of the above. Keeg Him. I like Keeg Him.
Somebody came down my road on social media because I said a Murray Flurry, which we talked about.
No, that's totally fine.
Because they said it has been taken by...
The Warriors for the Curry Flurry?
Curry Flurry.
Well, no. I mean, it's an homage almost to that.
And I responded and I said...
Imitations.
Murray. I said Murray Fleury, and I added it. Oh.
Like A.
You don't want to step on the toes of Jamal Murray either. What are they saying up there about him?
I don't know.
That one actually makes more sense, too, because they're in Denver.
Yeah.
You know, so you actually get some snow flurries.
I've never heard that.
Oh.
Yeah. I actually I've never heard anyone say Jamal Murray Fleury. So
I'm sure someone has. I'm sure one of the announcers have.
Haven't heard it.
Yeah.
So until we hear it.
A tree falls in the woods.
Well, Keegan Murray has Jamal Murray made 11 straight?
Right.
Oh.
Facts?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I didn't think so.
I don't think so.
Okay, well then you don't get a flurry.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Now go snowboard or something.
Okay.
There you go.
With your board shorts.
With your board shorts. Hopefully it's not
go
too.
Get out of breath walking upstairs.
Yeah. That's right. Oh my gosh. Yeah,
that's right. Shout out Elevation. Styles and Watkins.
Shout out long field goals.
Yeah. Shout out field goals. Styles and Watkins taking up to 2 p.m. as we talk Keegan Murray and the Kings taking down the Jazz 125-104. And something on this show that we tend to do is when the Kings don't take care of business, we get on them. And the fans, the Sack Chat, shout out the Sack Chat.
Huge.
Hanging out as always. And, you know, we're hard on the Kings, I would say. Show up, we let them know. And what I want to do right now is give them their flowers because a little bit today could be another trap game, but we'll talk Wizards coming off a back-to-back. You'd have to really, although it was semi-close in Phoenix, you'd have to really mess up to lose to this Wizards team. It's just or slip up just like Jordan Poole did on a banana peel last night. So I don't want to give them too many flowers because they got a game tonight before they go on their gauntlet. But on a Saturday night, making sure you take care of business and doing it in fashion to where I don't have any complaints. I don't have any complaints about the Kings. What did you think on top of Keegan Murray with no De'Aaron Fox?
Right.
And you're thinking, hey, Lauri Markkanen, they could mess around and make this a game. What did you think about how the Kings came out and that mentality that they took on Saturday night?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like you said, De'Aaron not being there definitely made it a little bit nerve-wracking a little. I think, you know, everybody still expected the Kings to take care of business, but you just never know. When you're missing 30 points per game from your lineup, like, that's not easy to replace. And we've seen this Kings team look like a completely different team than the guys that we've seen for a majority of this season when De'Aaron hasn't played. And so, you know, it's gonna be a little sketchy. And for about a quarter and a half there, it was a game. It was like 38-35 or something like that.
Colin Sexton is going to be
a little bit going.
A bulldog.
Yeah, he was doing his thing, being physical, talking a lot of talk.
He cracks me up.
He is really,
if he can
really
shoot.
Funny. Yeah. If he can back up his trash talk even just a little bit more.
No, he can, but you're not going to win with an undersized point guard getting to the rack all game.
Yeah.
At some point, you got to shoot
Colin
a jump
Sexton,
shot.
Colin Sexton, as I was watching, I was like, this would be a great backup point guard for him, or for the Kings. I just feel like he doesn't want to be a backup point guard. Like, he's the type of dude who will be upset being behind De'Aaron Fox and not understand why De'Aaron's getting minutes over him. But yeah, I mean, it was a close game for about a quarter and a half, and then Keegan Murray happened. So it's a little bit tough to try and evaluate everybody when Keegan is just shining so much brighter than everybody else. But Sabonis had himself a really quiet, spectacular night. He really got things going, and you know, up until the point where Keegan took over, it looked like it was going to be a Domantas Sabonis 30-point game that we might be talking about. He finished with 20, 10, and 8, just kind of typical Domas stuff. Nothing too difficult, but I thought it was good to see him kind of throw Walker Kessler around a little bit there. You know, he used his old-fashioned post moves and just kind of got into his chest a bit, and I thought that was great to see. And of course, I mean, anytime De'Aaron's not playing, you're going to look at Malik. And Malik has to be the guy to step up scoring. Of course, again, Keegan kind of took care of that. But Malik in that fourth quarter got active. Like, he had that lob from Sabonis that got everybody jumping. And he got hot. Like, Malik is crucial in games without De'Aaron. Even though Keegan had 47, the Jazz still were hanging in, or at least able to make the Kings sweat a little bit. I wouldn't say sweat, but they were able to keep it, you know, make it into a game where the Kings had to close it out. And I thought Malik was a huge part of that. And really Harrison Barnes as well. Like, shout out HB, who, you know, again,
that's what I was waiting for.
It feels like all the focus was on Keegan. And then, yeah, Malik has his moments. Sabonis is dominating. Quietly, HB's just hitting threes, got a couple good putbacks in there. I think he finished with 16, which, if I had to guess, 16. Is near the most. I would guess that's a top three scoring performance from HB this season. So, I mean, you really got contributions from everybody that you would want to contribute when De'Aaron's not playing. And, of course, our guy Kevin Herter again, you know, he was okay.
He got to 11.
He got to 11, double figures, which is a lot better than how he's been playing. But he's really the only one that it's like, would have liked to see more, but – you know, when Keegan's scoring 47, sometimes there's not many threes or other shots available.
I got to say something, and especially with De'Aaron Fox not playing, you know, ever since my buddy who is up in Oregon, who is now a friend of the show, texts in, shout out Tyler, hasn't called in yet, but he's, you know, he's out. He's working hard for his family. He'll text in. He listens to the show. Ever since he said, you know, man, those hockey assists by Harrison Barnes, you know, you maybe you should pay a little bit more attention. And the fact that Harrison Barnes is normally the fifth option, dare I say that I'm, for now, I guess, I am off of the hate train on Harrison Barnes. I have no, I mean, yes, he could be.
Sure.
Give it time. Give it time.
No, but I was on it. I was on it when you look. Sometimes the box score just looks ridiculous.
It's peaks and valleys with him.
But it's not, though. It's really not. You don't really expect any peaks, right?
But when it matters.
I don't think it's a valley.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think it's, you know what you're going to get, and he doesn't hurt. He doesn't hurt you. He doesn't always help you in a strong way. But I think that for what this team is right now, now, if you're asking me, can you win with this roster a championship or this starting lineup, I should say, I don't know. I don't know. But I also don't know if it's directly because of Harrison Barnes.
Right. No, I think I heard Mark Spears say it on these airwaves. I can't remember if it was on the morning show or afternoon show. But he really made a great point, and he said, I didn't know that Harrison Barnes was so important. I thought, you know, this season we were talking about Domantas Sabonis proving he was, you know, worthy of that All-NBA. De'Aaron Fox obviously has carried his weight, but, you know, and this is when Keegan Murray was struggling. I thought Keegan was supposed to be your reliable number three scorer. He hasn't been that up to this point, and, of course, he's now becoming that point, and the Kings are playing a lot better. But, you know, it shouldn't be. If you're blaming Harrison Barnes for the reason why the Kings lose on a given night, I mean, to your point, really, the game should have never been viewed in his hands. Like, exactly. It shouldn't come down to, oh, Harrison Barnes didn't give us 12 points tonight, and that's why we lost. I definitely fall victim, probably more than anybody, to falling into that trap. But, no, I mean, you're right that, you know, he probably doesn't deserve all of the backlash he gets. I think it is just, you know, it kind of snowballs from, okay, that's the clear and obvious spot where if we are going to add, it's going to be at that spot because he's the weakest link.
No, sure.
To, okay, this guy is garbage, can't give you any value, is just out there just doing cardio. I feel like it just kind of snowballs into that. And it's, of course, as it always is, you're never as good as everyone says you are. You're never as bad as everyone says you are. Feels like Harrison more times than not is just kind of, he's just doing his job out there. And sometimes I think, you know, like your friend Hockey Six, I think sometimes people see the beauty in what Harrison does, but I also do think that there are people, and I'm going to speak to myself here, who say, I think that you can impact the game in more ways than just scoring. And even then, I'm not seeing that level of impact really. If it is there, it's very marginal and it's not super impactful to the game's results.
Yeah, I guess what I'm trying to say is Harrison Barnes is who he is.
Yes, and at this point, yeah. Yes. We need to meet him where he's at.
Right.
Instead of raising expectations.
And if you think that, oh, well, we can improve on him, sure, go out and get somebody.
Sure.
But as a fifth option, you got 11, 3. If you get those rebounds up to 4 or 5, that'd be nice. Get to 4.5 rebounds. That would be great.
Sure.
Right? And the assists, like we said, in this offense, he's just not going to end up with those assists. Real quick before we get to a break, as we know, we love talking about pickup basketball here. Have you ever been on a team where it's not a bad team, it's a good team, and you're the fifth option, not because you're trash.
Oh, I've definitely been the fifth option.
Because your team is pretty darn good.
Sure.
There is a bit of, okay, where do I fit? Is this a good shot? I'm wide open. Is it because I am the fifth option? Do I stink? What's going on here? And I think that Harrison Barnes is always thinking, hey, this is who I am. I know what I'm supposed to bring to this team. So then when he does get the ball, I know the rule, the Mike Brown's rule, is to shoot. But I would say that there's a little bit of that as a fifth option.
Right. You're I don't always want to do too much. Keep the ball moving. Right? Right. There's always a better option than me.
You've given you've given somebody who was never very aggressive.
Sure.
And he's now the fifth option.
Right.
So what can we really expect from Harrison Barnes? Right. And defensively, I think on this team, he's the upper tier defensively. Not a great defensive team, but you need him right now. All right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we will hear from Keegan Murray and his thought process on what went down during that historic third quarter. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Shout out to Nate Littlefield, who will be, he's already with us, but joining us in a different capacity at 11 a.m. in about 15 minutes to talk Niners as we talk about Keegan Murray and the Kings, what they did to the Jazz. And we have some sound. By the way, 916-339-1140. If you want to be a part of the conversation, talking Keegan Murray, Keegan Murr 3. Should we even talk about his value, quote unquote, value anymore?
No.
Maybe a little later in the show. We have no choice. This is what we do.
Man's untouchable.
I'm seeing the hard questions.
I'm seeing untouchable everywhere. Is that like a report, or is that just
people
saying?
No, it was a report.
It was a report. Jason Anderson put it out that Kings sources are telling him that the Kings are not interested in moving on from Keegan Murray, even a little bit.
But what?
Yesterday's price is not today's price. Can we admit that the Haliburton thing has maybe something to do with this? Are you okay with that?
No, I don't think so.
Why?
I just don't think that it impacts this decision. Are you saying because they are afraid that they'll have two young players out there who could potentially, you know, be greater, you know,
yeah, that's
be
what
in
I'm
the talk
that's
of,
what I'm saying that timing matters is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't think so. I still feel like the Kings internally feel like they're fine with the Sabonis deal. So I don't think they would view that as like a negative thing out in the world. I think they're like, whatever, birds are talking, but we're over here winning games. So I think they're fine with it. I don't think they view the Haliburton trade as a loss at all.
I was too busy winning. That's what the Kings did.
I want to get this Anderson tweet word for word here just so I don't. A league source tells the Sacramento Bee Kings view Keegan Murray as a foundational piece and they are not including him in trade talks. That was on the 16th. So that was Saturday, actually, hours before Keegan Murray would eventually drop 47. So if he was a foundational piece and they were not including him in trade talks at 2:15 that day, something tells me at 11:15 that night, probably, if anything, that was solidified.
Sounds like he knew. Jason Anderson knew something was going to happen that night.
I'll have to ask him. I'll have to ask him today. It sounds like maybe he watched the game beforehand.
Well, if Keegan is untouchable, I think, and we can get into the Pascal conversation as well, and that timing, if you don't trade him before and what happens to that contract. Because that tells me that OG and – because I don't think Masai wants a bunch of picks, right? And we'll get into the report about Lori Marketing, how the Jazz, they love their picks, right? So the Jazz might still be a possibility, as well as obviously Zach LaVine. But that tells me that the Kings will not be doing a deal with the Raptors.
I mean, yeah, it definitely probably isn't happening because, like you said, I mean, Masai is definitely going to ask for Keegan Murray in any of those trades for Siakam or for Anunoby. And so, yeah, if Keegan's just an absolute non-starter, if you're hanging up the phone every time he's like, hey, but what about Murray? Let's get back to this Murray thing. Then, yeah, I just don't think that it's happening because, like you said at the top of the show, Keegan's the Kings' best asset. Mm-hmm. And really, there's not even a close second. So, you know, if you're going to say, no, not Keegan, but we can throw you Herter, Davion Mitchell, and a couple firsts.
They're just too far apart.
They're going to say, well, no, how about you take off the first and we can just add Keegan or something and we can call it a deal. And then it's just going to be a never-ending cycle. So, yeah, it feels like until, I mean, and, you know, you've been talking about the Siakam. Siakam has some weird things in his contract where it's like, trade him past this date and you can't extend him, trade him before and maybe you could. And so with all of those factors playing in, I just don't think that, it doesn't feel like a Toronto move is in the cards for the Kings, which is kind of what people have been saying for the better part of six or so months by now. People have pretty much said, like you said, that the value is just not there. Or it's not going to match from those two sides.
No, they're not going to be able to get here. Let's hear from Keegan Murray and just his mindset and how he viewed that night.
You almost had 50. You almost had the NBA record for three-pointers made in a game. Which one did you want more?
What was it? Record free throw or the franchise? Or I mean, I don't know. I didn't really know about it until one of our assistants told me. And at that point, I mean, I got my career high, so I feel like that was good enough for me. I mean, I still have an NBA record right now, but we'll see how long that lasts.
When you're in the moment like that, you're obviously, you know, we always tease you about how stoic you can remain, but obviously there's amusing moments where your teammates look to kind of bring that out of you. But when you're on a heater like that, is it kind of like baseball where you don't want to be messed with, or like how do you feel in those moments?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like in a game I'm just locked in, and in that moment, guys just kept encouraging me. There's nothing different if I was missing shots or I wasn't having a good game. They're still doing the same thing, so They weren't treating me any different, and they just said, if you're open, let it fly. If you have a look, let it fly, and that's what I did.
You all.
Alan, I feel like you were a nightmare for no-hitters. If one of your teammates had a no-hitter, I feel like there's no way you wouldn't walk up and be like, hey, man, like,
no,
play pretty well.
I actually have a no-hitter story that I will share later in the show.
Did you ruin someone's no-hitter?
I will talk about it later in the show. Don't let me forget.
I'll do it
closer to crosstalk so Whitey can bug me about it. Yeah, but we'll talk about it later in the show. Let's get back to Keegan.
Let's get back to Keegan.
Now
that's
I'm
a
having
great
flashbacks
question,
here.
That's a great question.
Yeah, so Keegan Murray, we know how he is, and people are saying, I've called him a Klay Thompson variant. If you're just now listening to the show, thank you for listening. If you've been rocking with us, thank you for rocking with us. So this all started. I'm not going to take credit. Chris started. We all have – I use the word disciple. Chris uses the word variant when we talk about players that resemble other players. So Chris has a bunch of Harrison Barnes variants, and I think that Klay Thompson has different variants. And I've said – that Keegan Murray reminds me of a variant of Klay Thompson.
Sure.
You know, really just a slightly more athletic Klay Thompson.
Taller.
I would say Michael Porter Jr. is freak athlete Klay Thompson. But people aren't talking about Klay when we're discussing Keegan Murray right now. People are talking about the claw. People are talking about Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, with the two-way stuff.
Which is crazy.
That's nuts.
I guess it's not crazy to me. But I didn't have that in my path.
Yeah.
And you have conversations last week about what's Keegan's ceiling.
Right.
And people, like, we're not talking about just Joe Schmoes. We're talking about NBA executives saying that they believe that this arc that Keegan can get to could be Kawhi Leonard level. Now, one thing that I haven't seen with Keegan, which I think he'll grow into, he's still so young, is the midi game needs to...
Yeah.
So if you're going to be in the Kawhi discussion, Kawhi's midi game is actually very underrated, I would say, but Kawhi's midi game, his ability to just get you to when you need it, Keegan's not there yet, but again, Keegan is so young that he easily could. But were you...
He keeps working with De'Aaron, he'll get there real quick.
Exactly, in the floater game, he's 23 years old. Are you surprised that people are going past... the, you know, Klay Thompson, a more athletic Klay Thompson. Are you surprised that people are going past that and putting Keegan's arc in the same conversation with a Hall of Famer? And at one point, the best in 2019, Kawhi Leonard was basically known as the best player in the game.
Yes, yeah. Especially two-way. Yeah.
Especially easily
two-way. Yeah, when you factor in two-way, people are like, I mean, nobody plays both sides.
Do you
of the
see that in Keegan? Or do you think people have a little bit too much dip on their chin?
Yeah, I think that's a bit much. Kawhi, like, has a lot of tools that are just special that allow him to kind of, like, his hands are massive, which allows him to play passing lanes a lot more and just be, he's also incredibly strong, just like a naturally built guy. And Keegan, I think, is developing his body still, but there's just a natural strength that I'm not sure is there, and like physicality as well. But I mean, can he do like a version of it, or like maybe more offensive, maybe a little less physically defensive, but really good. I mean, Keegan's been excellent at just moving his feet and staying in front of guys. So that can be an element of, if you want to throw Clay, that's a lot more Clay than Kawhi, just, you know, guarding other teams' point guards and being able to make life difficult for them. I could see something like that. I could see Keegan being in the conversation of the most elite two-way guys in the league during Keegan's prime, whenever that is, 5 to 6 years down the line. I could see that for him being his peak, but he's still got some work to do for sure. I think physicality is the biggest thing. To me, he's just got to be more dominant. I mean, I think, again, it helps Kawhi a lot to just not have people be able to bump into his chest and have that make them fall back. I think if Keegan can start to deliver a little bit of the physicality, to me, that's where I can see a step maybe going towards that Kawhi direction. But it's crazy. It's crazy that we're even having that conversation, because, you know, it's just the leap that he made. Again, last year the dude was a glorified spot up shooter. Now, not as a negative. He was terrific. Maybe the best we've ever seen, especially at that point in his career. But the putting the ball on the deck, even the last three he hit was like to end the third quarter was a jab step, step back three, just, and then the defense, and then
he started unlocking things
just
throughout the game.
It's crazy. It is crazy how quickly he has developed. And I think that's, you know, Luke Laux during the summer league did bring up specifically Kawhi Leonard when comparing him to Keegan, but it was more so about the leap. It wasn't necessarily about, Luke Laux wasn't specifically talking about the one-for-one player comparison. It was from year one to year two, Kawhi made this leap that was like from good rookie to, wait, this guy might be one of the best players in the NBA when he's ready. And at the time, seemed crazy. Just throwing, like you said, throwing Kawhi Leonard's name in with Keegan sounds crazy. But now that you see a performance like what we had on Saturday, on top of the defensive improvements we've seen all year long, that's when it starts to not be crazy at all. And it is like, yeah, this kid, I mean, 47 points as your career high in your second season, that's nuts. And I mean, again, yeah, after watching that performance, I just feel like I need to reevaluate everything when it comes to Keegan Murray, because, like you, I just didn't think that he was ever going to have this in his bag. I didn't think this would be the set of skills that he brings to the table. And the fact that it's already there and this is just an improvement over one offseason – I mean, what's going to happen when this dude's 27, 28 years old and, again, starts getting physically stronger than young guys coming into the NBA? It's scary. And that's why it is, if you're Monty McNair, it probably does make sense to at least right here, right now, be like, you know, I think I'm just good with this Keegan Murray guy, and I'm a let this rock. Okay?
Yes.
I'm
sometimes just gonna see where this goes. You know, you just left Vegas. Sometimes you just gotta let it ride.
Yep.
Somebody gotta let it ride. Yep. All right, gotta get to a break. Keegan Murray, by the way, the youngest player in NBA history to make 12 or more threes in a game. Gotta get to a break. When we get back, more Styles and Watkins, Niners talk, Kings talk, Sacktown Sports.